When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Your smart speakers. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. What a weekend of sports this weekend coming up, guys. I love my favorite, Key J. By the way, good to see you at the It was a good time at the Knicks.
Great
Nets.
To see you there as well,
yes.
Max. Sitting there waiting at the elevator for me. That was just wonderful.
Yeah, I get there and Key comes in like maybe 5 seconds later.
He was holding it open for me without
Very nice gesture.
Without even knowing that I was walking in the building.
Yeah, I was holding it open for him because he's taking pictures and stuff.
You were too.
Yeah. But, you know, Key was very into the popcorn at the suite, by the way. Very into it. Talked about it a lot, man. Hadn't had it in 3 years.
Eating a lot of it.
Yeah.
It's good. I actually have some stuck in my pants pocket from last night. I'm going to go back and eat it.
I don't know why you hadn't eaten it in 3 years. The first time. I wonder if the popcorn was that good or it was like the old Eddie Murphy. Like if you feed a starving man a cracker, he's like, what is this?
That has something to do with it too, though. Because I was starving.
You know what I struggle with? So when I go to games, I like to actually watch the game, bouncing small talk. Remember that one time, Max? A guy was trying to talk to me. I'm like, that's fine. I'm trying to watch the game.
No, I enjoyed the small talk because it was the folks from 98.7.
Yeah, I mean, it's great.
In the box, so it worked. It just, you know, I know what to expect. A lot of New York Jet questions, you know, New York Jets, yeah. Because it's New York. So I was okay with that. But
like you're actually trying to see what's
going on.
Trying to watch the game because
I like watching the game. You know what I mean?
It's hard, though, because you, Jay Will, you play basketball. And the kids that were taller than you in there.
There are no kids taller than me. No kids taller than me in there.
The guy with the Sixer, the kid with the Sixer jersey on, about the same height.
5'8".
About the same height.
I'm 6'2". Stop. So disrespectful.
Don't say children are taller than Jay Key. That's not nice.
How can you say taller than Max?
He was sitting down for a reason.
Kid was tall.
Strategic move.
Let me grab this seat. So I love this time of year in sports only because, like, it's the same thing in October. Whenever you have an overlap of significant stuff, like one season is just starting. You know, you miss it. It's been away for a while. Anything's possible. Another season's gearing up to the playoffs. MLB opening day, NBA, we're getting ready for the playoffs. The Masters, Tiger Woods storyline. Even coming off a tournament, guys, where we had storylines like Paige Beckers and UConn against the defending champs. Where we had
Coach K.
Coach K's final season in UNC.
This is different, though, this year.
Why?
Because you mentioned Coach K, so that's a retirement we're talking about. We talked about the potential pushback of Major League Baseball. Now it's starting. Mm-hmm. So you drop that in there. Tiger, 4 years ago, he wasn't in a car accident trying to make a comeback from a leg that's shattered. Now all of a sudden you package that in there with the mat. Like you put all this stuff
together. By the way, more
NFL
offseason
news than ever before.
Of quarterbacks.
Oh, ridiculous.
Tom Brady.
Aaron Rodgers stayed. Brady came back. Deshaun Watson got traded. Russell Wilson got traded.
So you package just everything up. Now you got LeBron James, kind of as mad people say, running his mouth. You have LeBron saying what he said. So you put all that up in the
mix. You mean about Steph?
That's a lot, yeah.
Talking about how he'd love to play with Steph.
But by the way, the fact that this comes out the day after this team just got eliminated. So the timing of that, too, by the way, just continues to perpetuate the cycle.
So you put all that together and then some? It's a lot.
Sports. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Even though fried chicken wasn't fried chicken either.
Paula Patton.
She defended herself, said it's her mom's recipe, guys.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can't argue.
So, when I first set this up earlier in the show, I was like, hey, to be fair, LeBron was asked a point-blank question,
yes.
Right? On the other hand, It is on his show. And when and he interpreted the question. First, he was answering Scottie Pippen and Penny Hardaway, all-time guys, because he sees he took some of their game, basically. I always thought that LeBron is like a souped-up Scottie Pippen, which is an amazing thing, because Scottie was great, but he's like that version of player, but better. But then he said, oh, you mean now? Like, he wanted to be very clear that he was answering a question of players he'd like to play with now.
Why would he – I'm just curious. Why would he say Scottie Pippen and not Michael Jordan? So is he
– Huh, interesting. I'm thinking, wow.
Because his game is similar to Pippen's.
So no, I understand that, but why wouldn't you – come on,
want to play with someone different than you.
Yeah, Mike, come on, Max.
He said Scottie and Penny because he saw himself more – And they was like, yeah, you know, Jordan is Jordan and all that. But, like, I saw myself in Scottie. I saw myself in Penny.
But Keith's point is, why play with a clone of yourself?
Exactly. Like, why am I – I don't want to play with a receiver that's like me.
Right.
Give me Steve Smith. Give me somebody that's totally different.
It has to do more with what you grow up with, right? So, like me, I would love to play with Isaiah Thomas because I wanted to be – I saw myself being like Isaiah Thomas. And something about Isaiah Thomas and I in the backcourt together seems – In my brain, like, that would be cool.
Know what Keith's thinking when you say that, right?
Go ahead.
Short.
No, I'm not sure.
No, I think Max, I didn't tell if that was a shorter version of Isaiah Thomas. I got it.
No.
Zeke in Detroit. No, I was 6'1".
Which Isaiah? Shorter version of which Isaiah?
I was going to say which Isaiah.
You know which Isaiah.
No, but
there's only one Zeke, man.
But you see what I was thinking? I'm thinking, like, is LeBron, like,
a compatible piece?
Throwing shade at MJ by not mentioning
okay,
him?
Okay, let's play the sound. This is LeBron, and I believe in the sound you hear him say, it's almost like he's getting himself a leading question. Listen.
Who else you want to play with? In today's game, Steph Curry. Steph Curry is the one that I want to play with, for sure, in today's game.
Why Steph?
Man, I love everything about that guy.
And that mother- lethal.
Lethal, man. When he get out of his car, you better guard him right from the moment he pulls up to the arena. As soon as he get out of his car, you better guard
him. Oh, start guarding him.
Yeah, better guard him. You might want to guard him when he get out of the bed.
The parking deck.
Swear to God.
To be fair, LeBron went to go see Steph play in the tournament in college. Like, he's always been a fan of Steph. But
I mean, they were born in the same hospital in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of history there about the two both share.
Good information. You dug deep.
Yo, man,
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, read about it. So, like, it does feel, though, even though it was a very genuine answer and he was asked a question that he answered directly, it does feel like every time we hear Bron talk about another player, a part of my mind always wonders, is this a sign? Is he trying to find some way to connect it? And I'm not saying it makes it right, but it feels like that because of how LeBron is. We talk about him being a GM.
Always positioning
him master,
himself.
Yeah, and the team, like, it's a chess match. And like, does this set him up for another move, or does it give him options? I don't think it does, but your mind still wonders.
No, that. I understand. But LeBron can't do that. He can't go because Steph, first of all, Steph's under however many hundreds of millions of dollars contract with Golden State, so we already know that that's not going to happen for him to leave Golden State. But LeBron can't leave the Lakers after not making the playoffs, go to Golden State, which is a much better team, to try to chase another ring because he's chasing Michael Jordan. You can't do it.
But, Key, you know what? You said it before. First, LeBron does the super team in Miami. That expands what's possible.
It's fine.
Then KD follows up in his prime, joins a 73-win team.
Prime.
That expands it again.
Prime.
The point is, they're not moving the ball the opposite way. They're moving the ball down the field, right?
Exactly.
So, like, maybe the next step is you can do that. Who says you can't?
Yeah, but
maybe
you
can.
But I don't need – if I'm Steph Curry and I'm Draymond and Klay, I don't need that.
Ah. How did Steph react? When, of course, you know how we do it in the media. We create the fake story, and then we run to the other player, and we go, hey, did you hear what happened? How did Steph react when he was told about LeBron's comments on 95.7 The Game? Listen.
Well, we got his wish, so he's the captain. He's picked me the last two All-Star games, so I don't know if that suffices, but I'm good right now.
How's that make you feel, though?
I'm good right now. I mean, whenever you get the interest or curiosity of what it would be like to play with, arguably, you know, MVP kind of caliber dude like he is and the greatest of all time. Cool. Like, it's amazing.
Right.
We all can live in that fantasy world, though.
See, I don't think Steph would want LeBron to come
there's
to Golden State.
There's something sharp in those comments, guys.
Yeah, we all can live in a fantasy world.
There's something sharp in there.
You see, I look at the way I look at it is I think Steph has respect for LeBron.
Absolutely.
But I don't think Steph wants to rock with LeBron that way, where I would see LeBron wanting to rock with Steph that way.
Well, the ball doesn't stick in Golden State, right? Like, the That's ball moves. Saying.
Exactly. Yep. Well, it doesn't stick with Kevin Durant either.
No.
Well, not only from a playing standpoint, LeBron and Clutch are not going to be able to manipulate the front office the same way they were with other teams. It's just not – so – it doesn't work. That's kind of, I think, when you start thinking about it, it's like, man, well, so why would LeBron start doing that?
Why would LeBron bring it up on his show? And then, because even if he's throwing it out there, you're right, Key, it doesn't make sense in L.A. It doesn't make sense in Golden State. There's no third team I can think of, unless he wants to partner with Steph, maybe buy it, bring Steph into the fold and buy a team, you know, in the next several years, maybe. But there was something sharp in what Steph said underneath that was poking at LeBron to me. I heard something there. That was underneath it, like competitive and not, it's not, hey, we're friends. It's like, that's a competitor.
It's probably more like, I don't want that drama coming with me. I don't want everything that comes with him to come to the team right now. Like, it's that, I'm good right now. I don't need that.
You know how much drama that would be? If hypothetically LeBron James did go to Golden State, would you guys have the same kind of energy for LeBron in Golden State that you have for KD in Golden State?
Let's ask Vince Carter, guys. Let's ask Vince Carter.
Hey, guys.
Vince,
what's up, VC?
There he
what's
is.
Going on?
Hi.
What
hey,
do you man.
Think, what do you think about
Hi, Jay. Hi, Jay. Hi, Jay. How you doing?
I'm not great.
How you doing?
Yeah. oh, yeah. Excuse me to get out of the way.
You should have took the bet, Vince. You should have took the bet. You would have had me up on national TV with the North Carolina baby bid.
We'll talk about this later. Let it go. Yeah, I know you're glad to get that out. We'll talk about this in a second.
That Vince Carter is not just didn't just go to UNC. He graduated UNC. Like, as an NBA player, cared about that place. Oh, Jay, I can't feel
Vince, I got to ask you, Vince, if LeBron, hypothetically, because I'm not saying it's going to happen, if LeBron went to Golden State to play with Stephen Curry, man. Tell me that you're part of my camp, that you believe that would be a bigger story for me than KD leaving OKC going to Golden State. Would you have more venom for LeBron?
That. Yeah. I agree with what you said, and I agree with all of you are saying, really, because if he goes there, it's just drama. And Steph kind of said it. He's like, yeah, that's cool fantasy-wise, but I don't want that drama. I don't need it. I'm good where I am right now. I'm living a rock star lifestyle where we all understand it's not having to get to know guys like that. Yeah, you know a guy until you're with a guy all the time. Then you're like, oh, he's like this or it's like that. And what he has, why do you shake up what they have right now?
But BC,
I don't see the reason.
Will LeBron receive more vitriol? Will he receive more anger than KD when KD? Because remember when KD came over?
I think he was as much, just as much.
I don't think
nah,
so.
No, maybe more.
See,
maybe
because
more.
Key and Max don't think he will receive it at
Vince,
all.
Let me tell you why. Talking to Vince Carter, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Let me tell you why. KD was in his absolute prime. Like, late 20s, he's killing. He may have even gotten better on Golden State, but he was a great player. He had just lost to Golden State. They had won 73 games. They couldn't get past LeBron, though. It felt at the time like they were both cheating. Like, Golden State and KD both looked at LeBron and said, we can't get this dude. Let's join forces. We'll be unstoppable. So they didn't really prove anything by doing it. You're supposed to prove something when you lead a team to a championship. The difference is LeBron, even though he's still great, Vince, he's 37 years old.
He's still playing like an MVP, though, Max.
But this team didn't just win 73 games. And this dude is not, you know, 29. He's 37, Vince.
So, Max, let me ask you a question with that. So what would you say? Let's just say, hypothetically, it happens next season after what has happened this season with the Lakers. How will you look at view LeBron then? You left this team in shambles to move on. Would you? I mean, how would you view LeBron then?
It started with LeBron putting the team together in Miami. Then it extended when KD did what he did. And then this would just be following in that pattern, like the modern athlete doing his thing and not worrying about what people used to worry about so much.
No way. Do you know how much anger would be? They finished 17 games under 500.
Is that not good?
17 games under 500. You're telling me. And you're
That's
telling
the
me,
problem.
And BC, these guys are trying to tell me the team that LeBron James took the torch for Kobe, when Kobe passed, LeBron said, this is mine. They led to a championship. Now you're telling me 2.5 years later, he's going to leave to go up to Golden State to play with the guy that beat him three times in the NBA Finals?
Not a good
look.
Get
out of
here.
But VC, for me,
go ahead.
As a Laker fan and an L.A. guy, we would be mad at him because, much like you said, he put us in a bad position bringing in players and running the thing and doing that. But I think just from a national standpoint, people ain't – they're going to be like, okay, because it's been done before. Oh. We know who LeBron James is, that he's going to move around. So I don't think people will be out nearly as outraged as they were with KD. Not even close, because KD lost to a 73-win team.
As a Laker fan, how you felt, and I've heard you say, like, LeBron should take the brunt of this. I think Rob Pelinka should take some as well. Yeah. All of management should take some as well with what, you know, yes, LeBron said you make this happen and they made it happen and then leave you with that.
Well, like, we would be mad.
The team, it's like, I'm okay.
The two teams are in the same division, BC.
By the way, do we agree on this? Do we agree on this? Because even as old as LeBron is, Clay with the injury, Steph getting older, Dre, the whole thing, who would beat Golden State if LeBron was on it?
It wouldn't be fair.
It wouldn't be fair.
No. It would not be fair at all.
But see, I think this whole
thing. One thing I just want to say, bro, I just got to say this. The one thing LeBron would have to do, and let's just think about this, he would have to sacrifice a little bit, which he has not done. You know, he gets here, he got Russ. He said, oh, I just want to share the ball handling load, allow Russ to handle the ball. And then what happened? He took the brunt of the ball handling and put Russ off the ball. You can't put somebody like Steph Curry off the ball. Yes, Steph can play off the ball. I know people will say, well, he can play off the ball. That's okay. But he does need the ball in his hand. LeBron likes the ball in his hand a lot. You know, Luka was another name he threw out he'd like to play with. Well, Luka needs the ball in his hand. So LeBron would have to make some sacrifices as well. And I just got to say that because we talk about, yeah, he goes over there, and it'll be unfair if he's willing to sacrifice a little bit. And allow Steph to be Steph. Because if that doesn't happen, what are they going to say? Man, look what is he doing to Steph.
Exactly.
What happened to Steph?
And, BC, I would say
this. That's all I got to say.
When KD went to OKC, KD was chasing that first championship. He was chasing the first one because he knew that in order for him to be considered to be one of the greatest, he had to get a couple.
He had to have a championship.
LeBron already has four.
LeBron did it.
So, like, my thing now is,
he
like,
did the same thing. He did the same thing to go to Miami.
Yeah. But I feel like now, if he were to do that again, it continues to diminish his own greatness. That's how I look at it. And people just constantly use that against him. Like, they use him going to Miami for him not to be in the greatest of all time conversation.
Well, it's not fair that once upon a time, like, certain players are born into great situations in a league, right? They got a great coach, GM, great teammates, etc. In MJ's day, they were not in a much player movement, but they got him what he needed eventually. And then they just always won. Nowadays, the star players play GM, right? And for the most part, VC, Vince Carter on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, LeBron's been a good GM until this year, right? Like, he put together some nice teams.
Yeah. But this one was this tough.
From the beginning,
there were a lot of questions. I mean, it's like, how is this going to work? Is he willing to kind of share the responsibility at point guard? Allow Russ to be Russ, because that's what it all is about. You have to allow Russ to be Russ, and I don't think at some point it was like, you know, break glass in case of emergency. I'm just going to take over the responsibility, and I think it happened too often. I mean, it happened too early where Russ could not get in the groove. I mean, maybe it's bigger than that, but I think. You know, you look at Russell Westbrook, he's not going to change as a player. Max, you said this time and time again, is Russ going to change as a player? No. Is Russ going to come off the bench as a player? Heck no. So is that where's the sacrifice on the other side to get him comfortable? Because we know LeBron can take over whenever he wanted to. And I think he just did that a little too early, obviously, and with health.
VC, you already know how I feel about the Lakers this season. So let me ask you, what's a bigger disappointment, though? If the Nets get bounced in the first round, are the Lakers – missing even the play-in, not even the playoffs, the play-in.
And that's my thing. I think it's a little bit of both, but what's bigger? I think it's still the Lakers not getting in. They have all the talent in the world. And, yes, it's going to be disappointment. I'm sure people will disagree with me, but they did get in. As bad as the Nets played, they figured it out. They can still get the 7th seed. If you're going to be in the play-in tournament, 7th seed is what you want because you get two cracks at getting into the playoffs at home. So, you know, whatever. And then you get from there. I don't think they have enough to go far anyway because their defense is just not it. The Lakers, on the other hand, with all of these Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famers, regardless of how bad things are, you can figure it out. You can figure it out. Because I always thought if they got into the playoffs, they'd make a little noise. I didn't think they'd go far.
Hey, Vince.
But I just think the Lakers not making it with what the Lakers history is all about.
Vince, before we let you go, because I want, this is something I want to talk about coming up, but I want us to do it off of your opinion, okay? NBA MVP. Who is it and why? Who's the MVP to you, and why do you think they're the MVP?
I have a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions that I've asked. So I say this. I think Joel Embiid, if he wins the scoring title and gets Philadelphia to the second seed, how can you deny him that?
So what do you think is an MVP? Like, you know, it seems that this is a
valuable
kind of thing that...
Is it most valuable to your team or most outstanding? If we're saying MOP, we look at it different. Who's most valuable? I think Giannis is one of the most valuable, as well as the big fella in Denver. Help me out here.
Jokic.
Yeah, as far as that, yeah, you know, as far as this valuable to your team, because, you know, I always say we throw the word MVP, but, you know, are we going to view it as most valuable, or should we turn it to most outstanding player?
Or because player with the best story.
Like that.
Or player with the story, right? Like, some of it's that, too, I think. Giannis is coming on.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right, so most valuable, yeah. Most outstanding, and Vince says those are two different things.
I think Embiid is most valuable, because if he doesn't play the way he played in the beginning of the year, with the narrative that was already behind it with Ben Simmons, they crash and burn. He was able to sustain that. Now, they're still playing at a high level. Harden gets there. They play great. Everybody's, enamored. Then now Harden's dipping a little bit. But who's still playing lights-out basketball and still has a chance to get to number two?
Starting to win me
on top of leading the league in scoring.
Starting to
How can you
over.
Deny that?
That is Vince Carter, ladies and gentlemen, half man, half amazing. Thank you, Vince, as always.
Thanks, guys, man. It's always a pleasure.
Congrats again, VC.
Hey, Jay, man, it's always a pleasure talking with you. Yes, I should have taken the bet. Congratulations to a historic career to Coach K. But you're going to have to hold that L, brother.
You're the worst.
You're going to have to hold that L for a long
hold
time.
A long time. I hate you. All right.
Vince Carter. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Talk to you soon, Vince.
All right, guys.
Take
man.
Care, brother.
Yes, sir. Be easy. Yeah, later.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. One stat tells you why Vince is right. And Joel Embiid is indeed the MVP of the NBA.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, download the podcast. Guys, Vince Carter was just saying in a previous segment when We were talking about MVP and who should it go to. He said, well, first, what are we talking about? Most outstanding player or most valuable player? Let me say, guys, I believe MVP value equals excellence, equals outstanding. To me, it's all the same thing. Not to everyone, but to me, if you're the best, that means you're the most valuable.
Yes.
To me, that's Joel Embiid by a hair this season, right?
Over Jokic.
Because Giannis only played 60-something games.
So for me, MVP means everything you say and where's your team.
Right.
And where's your team going? Because you can't be the most valuable player in the league and your team stinks.
Or
you
not
can't
if they be the stink, most, but what if your teammates are no good?
You can't be the most valuable player in the league and you get bounced in the playoffs in the first round. Because when I think of MVPs, I'm thinking of guys like LeBron who wins championships, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson. They win championships. I get it. Everybody likes what they like, different flavors. I get it. To me, a Joker, that's cool. Jokic is good. But his team, he ain't carrying his team to nothing.
Oh, but he carried them, Jay, to wins to the playoffs without the second and third best players.
Yeah, but the playoffs.
See, here's where he
get a broom brought on him.
Here's where the narrative's changed, though. Like, so for me, I've always thought as the MVP growing up as the best player on the best team. So if the best player on the best team, that would mean that the MVP would have to be Devin Booker, right? Phoenix Suns are the best team in the NBA.
No, I don't think it is the best player on the best team necessarily. I'd never subscribe to that. But if you have, then be consistent,
see,
right?
That's the same thing I'm saying, though, too.
Exactly. It just feels like the narrative has changed to, is it an individual accolade? Is the most outstanding?
Know who agrees with you? Draymond Green. Listen to this. This is on ESPN Radio with Chris Canty on Tuesday. Listen.
Devin Booker's not even being mentioned in the category. They're leading the league by in team record by a long shot, and he's been absolutely incredible. And so I asked, what is the criteria? And at what point, when does it get to a point to where it's not just someone saying, oh, well, I like the season this guy had, and it's no merit. It's nothing, you know, it's nothing that's set in stone that says, oh, he did X, Y, and Z. He checked off these boxes. This guy wins the MVP. So for me personally and what I value, Devin Booker's the MVP of the NBA.
I don't see Booker as the MVP of the NBA.
I mean, but it depends upon what narrative you're subscribing to. That's the conversation that we're talking about now.
Here's why he wouldn't be the MVP to me. It's because he has a mentor, so to speak, in Chris Paul there with him.
Who's almost as good as him. Like, they're all in the same level.
CP3 missed a lot of games with a broken hand, though, to a degree.
No, I understand that. But do you really think Phoenix is going to win the NBA title?
You know what I
don't think they have
like,
a legitimate shot to win
do
NBA
really
title.
You really think that
yes.
they're going to? So
yes,
you
I do.
Think they're going to?
I do. I think they have a legitimate
you know
shot.
What I
think
like
they'll so, be back in the finals, so then, maybe against the Milwaukee Bucks.
So then
or Memphis.
So then it would be unfair to not have him on the possible list.
I'll tell you why for me it's not. For me it's not. Because you can't always, sometimes LeBron tries to, right? But you can't always control who you play with, right? Especially as a young player before you got into that seven-year window or six-year window where you can try to force a trade or whatever. And my point is this. When I say you're the best or the most excellent, that includes the effect you have on your teammates. I want you to listen to some stuff about Joel Embiid here, guys. I've been collecting a lot of like those stat news things about Embiid, right? Okay. Embiid, this season, Nuggets bench scoring. This is from Drew Hanlon had this on Twitter, okay? 36.5 points, it's 12th in the NBA. Sixers bench scoring, almost 27 points, it's 28th in the NBA. Jokic has a stronger bench than Embiid. Nuggets bench scoring post All-Star break, 40 points, that's 8th in the NBA. Sixers bench scoring post All-Star break, 24.5, it's 30th in the NBA. So whatever you think about the starting units and Jokic has been without his second and third best players, that's a big deal. He's had a much better bench performance than
for
Embiid.
Jokic, you know who's on the bench for Denver? You know who's on the bench for Denver?
No, I want you to tell me.
Bones Highland? Like, there aren't, like, names.
Bones Highland?
Yeah, but their point is they are contributing. Okay. Whatever you want to say about their names,
I don't know if that's the argument that needs to be had for Joel Embiid being MVP.
But it's the way the bench is playing, Jay. The point is, even if he doesn't have his starters, Jokic does have a bench. How about this? 11 games with at least 40 points and 10 boards this season. Only players with more in a season since the merger, Russell Westbrook and Moses Malone. Right?
Yeah, but
also
but Brooke
won MVP.
It's 12 games.
But Brooke
like that,
won MVP because he did something that we never seen done before. Mm-hmm. Like that. That so you give him the MVP on that. The OKC was never going anywhere.
Here's where I think Jokic is losing some edge in this whole thing. Because right now they're at the sixth seed. And I give him a lot of credit. He's done this without Jamal Murray, without Michael Porter Jr. Yeah. But if they happen to fall in the next four games to the play-in tournament, I don't know if I can give the MVP to somebody that has their team in the play-in tournament.
How about this?
I don't know.
How about this? And by the way, I can. And
you
I
can
think
give your MVP
I'm
to somebody
giving
in the play-in tournament?
Yep. Right now, as long as you're in the postseason. Yeah. Right now, Embiid, to me, is the MVP by a little over Jokic, because while I actually think offensively it's close, maybe even Jokic has an advantage in terms of the way I want my offense to run, Embiid is a very good defender. Jokic is underrated, but not as good a defender as Embiid. Guys, how about this one? Just for scoring. Ready for this? This is huge. This is Muse Stat on Twitter, okay? At 33.7 minutes per game.
Cover your mouth. Yuck. Oh.
You just sneezed
into the air because your hand was on the cough button.
This is how pandemic starts.
Paulie, give me the Lysol.
We all stop.
Came from the game last night. He's shaking hands and popcorn. He sneezes on the Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max sign. It's disgusting.
Jokic for MVP. He has an allergic reaction.
According to Muse Stat, this is completely unverified by anyone. I'm going to read it anyway. At 33.7 minutes a game, Embiid would have the lowest minutes per game, listen to this one, by any player who averaged 30 points or better in a single season in NBA history. Ew. Is currently first in points per minute all time ahead of Michael Jordan. Like when you look at the minutes played and the offense plus the defense, it is and then the games played, because Antetokounmpo missed so many games, it's hard to argue against Embiid.
But Embiid also has a chance to go and win a championship. The Joker ain't got that. Ain't happening.
But that's not his fault. Jamal Murray's hurt.
No, but it is his fault.
It's his fault.
Not his fault.
Yes, it is. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because if you that damn good, you should be carrying him.
He is carrying him
carrying him beyond regular season.
No one could do it by themselves. Nobody could do it by themselves.
It's not a postseason award.
I'm just telling you for me.
But one thing that Vince brought up that we have not touched on that I thought was a really good point about why it's Embiid is he talked about earlier in the season when Simmons was out and he kept the Sixers in it. And I feel like we get lost in like the end of the season. Like Jokic has been on this great run later in the season. But if you look at the whole season, it's Embiid. And I feel like too often in these conversations, people get wrapped up in what happens later in the season. It's like the college football playoff all the time. We always were, you lost early, so you have a chance to save it as opposed to if you lose late. Like, we got to look at the whole season here, and if you look at the whole season, it's Embiid, not Jokic.
That's my point, Evan. It's like, carry your team all the way through the thing, not these late season runs where you're doing something. Joker, he disappears way too much for me.
Okay, that's legit, but like, if you feel that way, but this, no, I'm saying if to Key's
he
eye, he
feels
disappears.
Like he does.
But let me just say this.
He does.
Let me make it simple for everybody, okay?
I don't know about that.
Let's talk about offense and defense. Offense and defense. That includes your teammates, because offense is not just scoring, okay? Offensively, I think because of the passing and the three-point shooting, I would take Jokic this year, and they've both played a lot of games, by a hair over Embiid. Defensively, I think Embiid has a larger advantage than on the offense, right? So all in all, Embiid, I have not heard an argument for why Jokic is better than Embiid. I need to hear an argument for
better
why it's Jokic.
Or most valuable player.
Either
said,
one.
I'm not talking about
heard,
better.
I have not heard the argument that convinces me that I think it's Embiid by a little bit. Tell me the argument for someone else, and I'll listen, but I haven't heard it.
If Embiid was not on the Sixers wouldn't be in the position that they're in.
Yeah, but if Jokic wasn't on...
They ain't in no position. What position they in?
They're in sixth
in the West.
They're
going home, man. They getting ready to go home.
They're in sixth in the West.
And they're going to go home in round
one. We're going to get to one sporting event today that none of us thought would happen a month ago. We're back in less than 2 minutes, ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio. So we're just kicking around opening day baseball stories. And Key and I grew up big baseball fans on opposite coasts. We're around the same age. I'm a Yankees fan. He's a Dodgers fan. Dodgers and Yankees meet in the World Series when we were little kids, like every year. What's your best opening day story, Key?
Opening day, I couldn't wait. Like, me and my brother, obviously, we couldn't wait to have opening day for the Dodgers because that was big ticket scalping day.
Yeah.
So we go and work the tickets. He'd work one side of the
– How'd you get the tickets?
We could do a little bit of both, right? We would pre-buy them sometimes, or we would buy them from other people that got them and other scalpers and then turn around for a profit. But opening day was so huge because everybody – wanted to go to opening day, and opening day is always sold out.
What could you make on opening day back then? We're talking about the 80s, right?
Man, yeah, you probably, if I bought a pair, and that pair cost me $75, I probably could turn it for $350, I guess.
Ooh. Wait, Kiki. Oh. Now you're hooking me, because I'll tell everybody, I'm not a baseball guy. I could care less about baseball. I never waited to go to opening day. But you talk to me about money now, Max, I get excited. You're talking about scalping. Give me your scalping voice. Like, how would you go? Like, we say, I got two.
In L.A., you had to be discreet in L.A. because your ass will go to jail.
So how'd you do it then?
You
walking up to people. See, I'll be scared you walk up to me. I'm like, what you want?
You need tickets?
You need tickets? I got two. What you need?
Yeah, you need tickets? Yeah.
You're making me sound slick right now.
Because you are. That's slick. I like it.
What's your
– Max, I can know Max would do it in a heartbeat.
Okay. No, my opening day story is for real. Growing up, I knew one thing. Look, first of all, both my parents from the Bronx. I was born in the Bronx, right? I grew up a crazy Yankees fan. And I knew this. Me and my brothers, I had three little brothers, if we cut school and went to Yankee Stadium, my brother Sam and me, let's say my father would have found out about it. I would have just been like, Dad, it's Yankee Stadium opening day. Let me tell you something, kids, anyone who's listening to me. There's nothing in school on opening day that you're going to remember, but you will always remember going to those opening days at the ballpark. It's like in someone's life, in someone's education as a human being, become a full, person. Opening day, baseball, more important than anything you're going to do on school that day.
I'm not sold.
What?
You have to sell me more. Like, why?
It's possibilities are endless opening day.
Back in the day, you could get in the left and right field for $3.
$3.
I could turn those for probably $15 a seat.
Well, now you're talking to me.
You like that $12 profit.
That $12 profit, now you're talking to me.
Oh, man, now you got me just... Oh, man, being a scalper was one of the best. But I was poor,
Dude, 75 into 350.
You were poor, man.
What would you do with 350?
You could turn for more.
Fubu.
Oh, God. No, my mom.
He's still got a business on the side, Jay.
Yeah, my mom.
We're back.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Keyshawn, J. Will. And Max.
I was literally sitting in the car, felt like, for 20 minutes at the same spot.
Whoa.
Hold on.
See, that's some LA stuff, man. That's what they do in LA.
At this point, I'm like, blanket. So I get out to walk. The two blocks turned into four blocks. It was long.
Phrasing.
It wasn't really two. So now I get close to the garden, and I'm trying to walk fast and play the
Keyshawn.
The hand shaking and the people touching me and the whole deal.
Yeah, so I'm a man of the people.
So I see
when you're 6'4", you can't hide.
You can't hide.
And I'm trying to shrink down to your size walking. It looked weird, right?
Diva receiver.
So this is Choose Your Own Adventure. You produced this segment by voting at KeyJ and Max on Twitter. So there are always four choices. What should we talk about this segment? Guys, LeBron and Steph got 12% of the vote. Pressure on the Buffalo Bills to make the Super Bowl, 15% of the vote. Same basically as the NBA MVP, little under 15% of the vote. MLB opening day, the runaway winner, more than everything else combined, 58%+ of our votes want us to talk about Major League Baseball's opening day. There's a Bart Giamatti, who was the commissioner of baseball once upon a time. His son, Paul Giamatti, is a famous actor, right? Had a great, great poem, basically. It was like a poetic kind of thought about opening day that I think, or about baseball generally, that really hits on it for me. And he talks about, Jay, in it, how, like, baseball, I'm paraphrasing now, but the idea is it heralds spring and, like, you know, all that kind of stuff. And just when you need it most, it leaves you in the fall, right? And when, as the leaves are turning, there is something about opening day where every team has a chance, where every fan of every team is excited, where there are endless possibilities, where these guys are about to write their own scripts. They're going to keep you company because you could put it on like wallpaper 3 hours a day. They're going to keep you company for the next 6 months. Not a national sport like it once was. It's local, super local. I don't care about what happens with the Padres. I care about my Yankees. But, oh, do I care about my Yankees. Like, to me, there's nothing I care about more, really.
Opening day might be the only day I might go to a baseball game. Just because I'm excited about it. But it's hard for me to go sit. Keith, 3.5 hours is a long time.
Yeah, I can get you through 3.5 hours of opening day for sure. The only problem with opening day in L.A. sometimes is the heat. It could be hot. Like, right now in L.A., I think it's about 90, 95 in heat-wise in Los Angeles. And when you're sitting in those stands and that sun is projecting on you with them plastic seats, that heat can go. But opening day is so fun, man. You think about who's going to be our opening day. I didn't even look who's the opening day pitcher for us because usually it was Kershaw, but it might be Walker, I'm sure,
yeah,
right?
Walker Buehler.
It got to be Walker. Yeah. Yeah, so
Kershaw's still good, by the way.
I know, but he's our fourth guy. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like,
because you got an embarrassingly good pitching staff.
And so that would be our opening day guy. Who's our guy, Evan? Because I can't
see Walker Buehler.
It's going to be Walker Buehler against Kyle Freeland tomorrow night at Coors Field.
Yeah, see.
Tomorrow night here, afternoon in Colorado.
Tomorrow night here, afternoon.
It's 1:10 Pacific time start. So
yeah, and we
like
usually
4 in the afternoon here.
We usually open up at home. I wonder why we're putting us on the road this year.
Yeah.
We usually open up at home.
I don't have the facts in front of me, but I believe the schedule is just like picking up from where it was supposed to be.
Got
and then
it.
They're mixing in the games they missed last week. So I'll double check, Key, but I think originally the schedule probably had the Dodgers opening up at home. And then this is actually the second week of the season. These are like the third and fourth series they're starting with this week. So this is probably the Dodgers' third series, so they start on the road because of the lockout.
And everything Evan just said factors into what you said, Max, all that mixing, all the sports and stuff, because now this is opening day. When opening day was supposed to be basically a month ago, and now we got all this, but I'll get a chance. Stop snoozing on baseball.
What? I didn't start. What?
You see, I'm not even talking to you. I'm talking directly to Max.
I get a chance
to go to Dodger Stadium, I think, next Friday, on Jackie Robb Day, so I'm going.
See, I would go to that.
Getting in and out of Chavez Ravine, though, man, it's brutal.
Yeah,
there's only three choke points, man. You got to sit there in traffic.
I took Uber one of the playoff games. I don't remember which one it was. I think it was, you know what it was? It was the Houston. It was the Game 7. Yu Darvish lost.
Yeah.
I left early. Paid all this money, third baseline, the whole deal. And we leave early. We left in, like, the bottom of the fourth, I think. And I walked to the Uber lot. And we couldn't get an Uber, and we sat there, and we basically was there to the end of the game.
You guys
want to
hear? Wait, you guys
hold on. Confirmed, the Dodgers were supposed to open up March 31st against the Rockies at home.
You guys want to hear this? Bart Giamatti, not my favorite. Like, listen, I haven't been crazy about a lot of baseball commissioners. His son's the famous actor, Paul Giamatti. You want to hear the quote? This is like a famous quote in baseball, Jay. Baseball, it breaks your heart. It's designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again, and it blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings. And then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops and leaves you to face the fall alone. Beginning of that, right? And then we have football, we get it, and basketball. But, like, in the beginning of that, we know what's coming. It's going to fill the summertime.
But how does baseball get a younger crowd to follow it? Like, how do you – because, like, I'm honest, like, where's the – I know there's action. I know you guys love it. But, like, where does MLB go to next level?
younger
for
crowd
where it's going, where it needs to go for the business of baseball.
I think young people follow it. I think young people follow it, but not as young as football and basketball. Young people still are at baseball games. There's no question about it.
I would say this. Baseball used to be in certain in terms of its racial makeup, much more diverse when I was a kid. Yeah. And youth culture in this country is very much a diverse culture. And so I think diversity in baseball in terms of who is playing the sport is key. Great in terms of the influx of players from Asia, especially Japan, and also and also Latin countries, Latin American countries, all that's great. But African-American participation has fallen off.
Yeah, and growing up, Jay, for me, it was the Chili Davises, the Eddie Murrays, the Daryl Strawberries, all of those guys.
Reggie.
You know, all of those guys grew up in my neighborhood. Mm. So I grew up idolizing all of them and saying to myself, man, I want to be Eric Davis. I want to be Chris Brown, you know. And so you learn that, and that's what was being taught.
Taught, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but here's what I got to do for you and him, and you've done it, Max, at Dodger Stadium. I got to take you to Dodger Stadium with me. So you can get, I don't eat hot dogs unless I'm at Dodger Stadium.
See, I need that experience.
The by the way, Yankee Stadium now, when you go VIP to Yankee Stadium, it's not even like it was when I was a kid.
Nothing beats the Dodger dog, Max.
No, I'm talking about that. They got sushi and fancy steak and everything. Now, when I was a kid, if you could afford a hot dog in the bleachers, you were laughing. And now it's like a crazy experience at all these ballparks.
You get the normal stuff at Dodger Stadium.
Dodger
old
dog.
School, old school Dodger dog. Day. The grill one, don't get it steamed.
Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, we are back 6 a.m. tomorrow morning here on ESPN Radio Sirius XM Channel 80.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, Jay, Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.